I had a conversation recently with a friend who was asking me about this idea of listening to another person when you're discipling them or in a counseling context. He was saying that he was told, or what he has perceived from other people when they are counseling, that they're really just listening so that they can give them the Bible truth, but they're not really customizing the conversation to the individual that they're talking to, not taking enough time to get to know the other person. We talked for a while about this, and I've been thinking about our conversation for about 2 or 3 weeks now, and I thought, you know, this would be great to do a podcast on this idea of listening, the importance of listening to another person when you are trying to help them. Now, this podcast will be good for the person who is doing counseling. If you do counseling, that's what you do for a living. That's what you do part-time for your local church or in some other context. This would be excellent for you. But this is also good for every Christian, because every Christian is called to make disciples, and a part of making disciples is this idea of listening to the other person and learning how to listen well and to know why you are listening, and some good tips for listening. This is also excellent in the family dynamic, especially between a husband and a wife. To be able to listen rather than just fixing the problem is important. And of course, that the same applies to parents and children as they interact with each other. So in this podcast, this episode 91, the title of it is 4 Reasons You Want to Listen Well When Helping Others. Now, there are several reasons to listen well when caring for another individual. And only one of those is to find out what is happening in the person's life. The art of listening has many facets to it. I want to share 4 of those things with you. Again, this is episode 91. 4 Reasons You Want to Listen Well When Helping Others. This is the Life Over Coffee podcast. I am Rick Thomas. You can find me at rickthomas.net. What I'm going to do in this podcast is what I do all day long. I answer questions. Now, perhaps you have a question that you would like to ask my team, ask me. I would love for you to do that. There are many ways that you can do that. We have a counseling page. You can go to our counseling page and find one of our counselors and set up a counseling session, and that would be fantastic. We answer questions that way. We also have public forums, free forums that anybody in the world can get on and ask a question. You do have to set up a username and password. We do that because we want to make sure that we're talking to real people and that we're not being spammed. But we also want to protect the people who come to our site. And so we ask you to set up a username and password just like you do for Facebook and virtually every other platform where you have to engage. So that's not unusual, and neither is it difficult. It's a simple process. But if you do that, it won't cost you anything as far as money is concerned, and you can ask any question under the sun, and we would love to answer that way. We have private forums for those who are supporting our site. Did you know that you can do that? There are people who value what we do, and they want to help. They want to get behind it. They want to partner with us. These are the people that make this happen. If you are not a supporting member, that's fine, but I want you to know that there are hundreds and hundreds of people that pay as little as $5 a month because they want this ministry to survive. Now, if you can spare $5 a month, I would love for you to be one of those supporting members. It's not just what you get by being a member. Of course, membership has privileges, but it's also to help us to perpetuate this ministry. And so if you want to be a supporting member, I would love for you to help us, partner with us so that we can continue doing what we're currently doing, but also so that we can do much more. I have more ideas than we are able to implement because we don't go in debt in this ministry. We only do what we can pay for. And so if you want to support us, that would be great. And one of the things that we have for supporting members is a private forum. It's another way to get your questions answered. You can go on our private forum. Now, Life Over Coffee podcast is still yet another way. People send in questions. my friend who's asking about this idea of listening in a counseling or discipleship or family construct, well, that's what this podcast is about. I try to answer questions as well as I can, and if you have one and you would like for me to consider it for a podcast, I want you to ask me. Send in an email and say, Rick, would you consider doing a podcast on this subject? Here it is. Now, if you're talking about someone or talking about an institution like a local church, you don't have to mention your name, their name, or the institution's name. You can flatten it out. Those details aren't important. But the idea of what you're asking about, that's important, and I can engage with that. So you don't have to reveal personal information, but just tell me the idea that you're struggling with and you'd like some kind of clarity on, and I would love to consider it for a Life Over Coffee podcast. If you want to read the show notes to this podcast, episode 91, Four Reasons You Want to Listen Well When Helping Others. The first reason that you want to listen well when you're helping others is because you want to show that you care. Now, to me, this is the most important reason to listen to someone. I mean, honestly, it's more important than helping them. Now, helping them is important. Maybe I can say that these four reasons that I'm going to give you are 1A, 1B, 1C, and 1D. They're all important. But this idea of caring for the person that you are meeting with, to me, it surpasses them all. Just to meet with someone, to get them to spit out the facts of the situation, that is the bare minimum. Yes, you want them to tell you what is going on, but we are relational beings who are made by a relational being. We are not robots. We relate to each other. And so when you're talking to someone, you want to do it in a relational context, not just trying to get the facts. You know, one of the interesting things about the Psalms are full of information. Think about this. The Psalms are full of information that the Lord does not need to help a person. The Lord can help you without all that talking. David and all the other songwriters in the Psalms, they did not have to say all that they said to get help from the Lord, because God knows everything. He knows the problem inside and out. He knows the problem better than you do, and He knows the solution better than you do. He can arrange things, fix things, permit things, to fix things. But He listens. He inspired the psalm writers to write these long poems in part to show that He is a listening God. He wants us to come to Him with our petitions, not because He needs information, but because we are relational beings. Some of you are old enough to remember the old TV show Dragnet. It was a police show set in Los Angeles, and the lead guy, his name was Sergeant Joe Friday, and he had this saying when he talked to people, when he went to someone's house to find out what was going on, he would say, "Just give me the facts, ma'am. Just give me the facts." Well, that's not what we are about as Christian disciplers. We want the facts, yes, but we want to show that we care. We want the person that is talking to us to know that we care for them. Now, this tip of showing care is not just a method. It's not just a strategy to make a successful counseling session. You must genuinely care for the person that you are helping. If you do not genuinely care for the person that you are helping, they will sense it. They will know that you are not for them, and being for them is one of the most important aspects in discipleship or counseling. I want to know that the person that I am talking to is for me, that he is on my side, that he or she is willing to do anything that's appropriate, to go to any length to help me, that they are absolutely 100% for me. It's one of the reasons that I enjoy talking to the Lord so much, because I know that God is for me. And as disciples, we want to replicate that with those that we're bringing care to. You want to leave a counseling situation or a discipleship situation or a family moment, and you want the other person to know that you absolutely care for them. One of the most profound texts that communicates this idea is 1 Corinthians chapter 1, the very first chapter, the first 9 verses. At some point today, if you take the time to read the first 9 verses of 1 Corinthians, I would want you to see, to feel Paul's great affection for the Corinthians. I need not remind you who the Corinthians were. They were a bunch of spiteful, hateful people. They were not for Paul. They were not on his side. But as you read the first 9 verses of 1 Corinthians, you have to be struck by the affection that this man had for these hateful people. That's what you want to emulate. Too often in counseling, especially biblical counseling, the counselors come across as harsh, aloof, detached, uncaring people, mean-spirited. There's no place for this, especially in biblical counseling. My favorite quote from one of my professors at the Master's College in Santa Clarita, California, was Wayne Mack. He said this, "Christian counseling is neither Christian nor counseling if it is done without tears, if it is done without compassion. If you do not have compassion for the person that you are talking to, it probably would be helpful for you not to talk to them. Do you care?" This was made. And by the way, I'm taking more time on this than the other 3 points because, as I said, this is 1A. In my mind, having compassion and showing that you care is the most important. But this was brought home to me many years ago by my doctor, my medical doctor. His name was Dr. Harris. He's no longer with us. He's with Jesus today. But Dr. Harris was like every other general practitioner who was any good. He was busy. He was one of the busiest people that you would ever meet. When you went into his office, the waiting room was never empty. The place was always buzzing. There were nurses and attendants and other medical staff humming, working, moving all over the place in his office. He had several rooms. And when you went into your room and when Dr. Harris came into the room, he acted like he had nothing else in the world to do. I can still see him in my mind's eye as he leaned up against the wall, folded his arms with his clipboard between his arms and his chest. One foot on the floor, the other one propped against the wall, and he leaned there and he just stayed. He showed no sign that he was in any hurry, though you can hear that there was stuff going on outside that door. It did not seem to matter at all. You felt like you were the most important person in his world. And back then, I had a Palm Pilot that will tell you about when it was. And I'd have my list of questions, and I would ask Dr. Harris, and he didn't speed me up. He didn't want to get to what he wanted to say. He wanted to listen. And I said then that as I counsel, I want to emulate that in my counseling. And that is the reason, or he is the reason, that I have always structured my counseling sessions for 2 hours. Because it's not just about getting the facts and giving a solution. It's about building a relationship with the individual. It's about communicating to them that they are important and I am in no hurry and I want them to have time and space to talk and to say whatever in the world they believe that they need to say in that moment. I rarely ever counsel under 2 hours. I've counseled as much as 5.5 hours. That's probably the longest. Well, I did have one 12-hour session one time in a family debacle, but never under 2 hours working with the person because I want them to have time. We're not herding cattle through a stall. We are helping hurting people, and hurting people need time to talk. And thus, we start at 2 hours. We start at 2 hours. And they can talk and talk and talk. It gives me time to instruct as well. But I want them to know that I care, but it's not just words. I give them my time. And so in this episode 91, 4 reasons you want to listen well when helping others. Point number 1, you listen to show you care. Point number 2 is you listen to know the real person. You always want to listen at 2 levels when you're listening to somebody. The reason you do this is because when a person talks, they are talking from their heart. The words that they use, the phrases, the word choices, they all come from the heart. This is Luke 6, 43, 44, 45. Jesus said, "For no good tree bears bad fruit, nor again does a bad tree bear good fruit, for each tree is known by its own fruit. For figs are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor are grapes picked from a bramble bush." And then he said, "The good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure produces evil." And then he gives us his punchline. "For out of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaks." So on one level, when they are talking, you are hearing the words that they are saying. But then on another level, you are hearing what is going on in the heart of the person. And so you always listen on 2 levels. The words that they say and the heart motivations behind those words. Many times in counseling, when I'm listening to a person talking, I'm looking at them in the eye, I'm listening to their words, and then I take notes. And typically the notes that I take, I'm writing down words that communicate what's going on in their hearts, like fear, shame, guilt, disappointment, regret. They may never say these words when they tell me what's going on in their life. But that's what I hear, because that is what's coming out of their heart. The words are saying something different, but the heart that's motivating those words is what you want to listen to. And so one of the reasons that you listen to a person is because you want to show that you care for them. The other reason, the second reason, is that you want to listen well because you want to know the real person, and the real person is inside of them. Therefore, one of the things that you want to do is you want to keep them talking. I want them to talk and to continue to talk and to talk some more, because the more they talk, it's like painting a picture on a blank canvas. And each word and each sentence is a brush stroke on the canvas. And the more they talk, they're going to paint a beautiful, or maybe not so much beautiful, but they're going to paint a picture of what their heart looks like. And you really need to see that picture, and you need to see it with clarity. And the only way that you can see it with clarity is by letting them talk. So number 1, you listen to show you care. Number 2, you listen to know the real person. Number 3, you listen to build a bridge, a relational bridge. You should know at some point in all discipleship, or at some point in all counseling, you're going to have to tell the person to do something. You're going to have to say something about the person. sometimes what you're going to have to say is going to be hard truth. It's going to be difficult for them to hear what you're going to say. You can't counsel like Simon Cowell judges a talent show. You can't do it that way. A person walks up on stage or sits down in your office or at a coffee shop and they give you a three-minute speech like they do on these talent shows, and then you judge them at that point. That is not Christian counseling or Christian discipleship at all. But if you are a good discipler, then you know very well that you're going to have to say some hard truth to this person. And if you're going to speak the truth in love, then you're going to have to build a relational bridge in order to do that. You could just do half of what Paul said in Ephesians 4. You could just speak the truth. That's more like the Simon Cowell approach. But if you're going to speak the truth in love, the person you're talking to might not know that you love them. Or as I said earlier, they might not know that you have affection for them, genuine affection for them, if you have not spent adequate time with them. What is the answer to this? You build a relational bridge to carry the truth across. Now, if you have not built a relational bridge and you try to communicate difficult things to this individual, you're going to blow up the bridge, you're going to blow up the relationship, and you will not have an opportunity to speak to them a second or third time. And so you want to give them time. You want to communicate. One of the things that you want to communicate in a counseling session is that you do care for them. I said it earlier. I was referencing Romans 8:31, though I didn't mention it. If God is for you, who can be against you? You want to communicate the for me aspect of the gospel. You want this person to know without question that you are for them, and if they are convinced that you're on their side, that you are for them, then you have liberty, you have latitude to say many difficult things to them. This is one of the keys to staying married and being married well, for your spouse to know that you are for them. Also, in parenting, if you have spent adequate time building the relational bridge in your child's life or your spouse's life, you can say difficult things to the person. But if you haven't built that equity in the relationship and you drop some heavy truth on them, it can demolish the relationship. And so one of the four reasons that you want to listen well when helping others is that you want to show that you care. Number two, you want to listen because you want to know the real person. And then this third point that I've been making, you want to listen because you are building a relational bridge. This is one of the reasons that I counsel for 2 hours when I meet somebody. I don't want to counsel 55 minutes. I don't want to counsel half an hour, because if I do need to say something difficult, it can crush them, especially if they are already vulnerable. If they're already in pain, they're suffering because of what they're going through, and they come to you and you just lay down some Bible truths on them, you're speaking the truth, but it might not feel like love. And so point number three, you listen well because you want to build a bridge. And then finally, point number four, the one that you expected, I'm quite sure. Why do you listen well? Well, you want to help them. You want to help them. And it's why I put this at point number four, because first of all, you want to show that you care. Number two, you want to learn the real person. Number three, you want to build a relational bridge. Now, if all of those things are in place, if you've laid that kind of foundation in the relationship, you might be able to help them ultimately. That is what you want to do. But because we are relational beings, we have to take our time when we do it. I said earlier that we're not herding cattle through a stall. What we're doing is we're caring for sheep. Sheep are timid creatures. In fact, if you read Psalm 23, you read the immaculate and the detailed care that the psalmist laid down for these sheep, because he just couldn't walk up to these sheep and say, you know, whatever it is that he needed to say. The shepherd spent a lot of time working with these sheep. In verse number 2, it says, "He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul." In verse 3, "He leads me in paths of righteousness." He said in verse 4 that even as I walk through the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. There is a deep relationship going on here. And you see it by making me lie down, leading me by the waters, restoring my soul, leading me in paths of righteousness. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint me with oil. And finally, the sheep just says, "Well, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." Why? Because this is an amazing shepherd. He has shown to me that he cares. He is listening to the real person of my heart. He has built a relational bridge. And now he is caring and he is helping me. And I want to open myself up to him. If you have spent adequate time with them, you will have your best shot at helping that person. Perhaps you've heard the story of the wife who shared her problem with her husband, and he told her what to do, and she responded in anger. Fixing her problem was only part of her problem. She wanted to be heard. She wanted to be understood. Do you understand me? If you give them adequate time, you will increase your chances of helping them. Soul surgery requires spiritual discernment. You want to make sure you're operating on the right thing. While problems of the heart are not that diverse, you want to be thorough. And so you give them time to talk as much as they need to talk for as long as they need to talk so that you can really discern what's going on inside of them. And then you may be able to help them. This is episode number 91, 4 reasons you want to listen well when helping others. Reason number 1, show you care. I want you to think about this the next time that you are helping someone in a discipleship context. Look over to that person and ask yourself this question: do I really care for this individual? Maybe that's your wife. Maybe that's your husband, your child, your parent. Maybe it's someone in your church. Maybe it is a counseling situation. But ask yourself this question: do I really care for this person? If you don't, you're not going to be able to fake it. Point number 2, the reason you want to listen well is you want to know the real person. Point number 3, you want to build a relational bridge because you know you've got some difficult truth that you're going to truck across that bridge. And then finally, point number 4, you do want to help them. Now, if I can help you, if this ministry can serve you in any way, we're just an email away. You can go on our public forums. You can ask. You can request a counseling session by going to our counseling page. But let us know. I've received a bunch of emails today from pastors, from ministry leaders, and from one lady who is crying because she was reading one of our articles and she's struggling so much in her marriage. Well, we want to help the pastor. We want to help the ministry leader. And we want to help the lady who is crying because she's struggling. If we can help you, let us know. You can find me and our team at rickthomas.net. Thanks so much for listening.
You have been listening to Life Over Coffee with Rick Thomas. If you have a question for Rick, you can let him know by sending him a note through his website, rickthomas.net. That's rickthomas.net. Thanks for listening. Enjoy your coffee.